Amen. And then Lynn and Kathy Meek will not be with us. They were scheduled to be with us next Sunday. They will not be with us next Sunday. He canceled his motorcycle ride. They always do that motorcycle ride, and as a part of their motorcycle ride through the Blue Ridge Mountains and or the Blue Ridge Parkway and so forth. We're one of the churches they always visit, but they have some family obligations, so they canceled that ride, and they'll not be coming here. So no meeting with Lynn and Kathy Meek next Sunday morning. Amen. But we'll be here, and we'll be having a good time with the Lord. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. And then I want to say this, because I want you to say this with me. We visited with Renita Thursday, you know, over at Siskin, where she's going, she broke her leg, but she broke her leg near her hip. So it wasn't her hip, but it was a hip issue, and so a little more complicated. And, you know, I was telling her, I said, well, if you broke your arm, I mean, if anybody breaks a bone, it just takes doctors always say 6 to 8 weeks to heal. And if you broke your arm, even if you have to have some rehab on it, you could walk around. And, but you know, she was not allowed to put any pressure whatsoever on her leg, period. So that complicated things a little bit. And then she's at Siskin and getting rehab. But as we visited with her for a couple of hours, and as we were leaving, we were praying for her. And as I was praying for her, it just came up out of my mouth. Things are going to be better. Things are going to be better. Things are going to be much better. Amen. Amen. Because, you know, she was already dealing where she had knee replacement. And in talking with Tony later, he told me, he said, well, you know, her knee was really not nearly as flexible or as limber as it should have been. And now that she's there, they're doing rehab on that. Matter of fact, that may have contributed to her fall because she wasn't picking that leg up very well. But now they're bending that thing and twisting that thing. And she went to actually they brought her back by ambulance back to her regular doctor. And he visited with her, and he was real pleased with how things were going. So, but I want you to say this, you know, there's a prophecy in the Bible. We'll talk about it in the message, but of a man where a true prophetess came to a man and said, you'll die in peace, and he died violently. You know, some prophecies are conditional. Now, some prophecies are unconditional. They're going to happen. You know, Jesus is coming back whether you believe it or not. But some prophecies, that's why people misunderstand sometimes. Now, sometimes I understand. Sometimes people prophesy things just out of their head. Doesn't mean they're devilish, but they just say things that are not by the Spirit of God. But some prophecies are conditional. Well, they were obviously in this case, it was conditional upon that this man continue to believe God and walk in the light of the knowledge that he had. And he didn't, and he died young and died violently. Yet a true prophetess told him, you shall die in peace. How about that? Amen. But anyway, say this out loud when they say Renita is going to be better. It's going to be much better. It's going to be much better. It's going to be much better. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, are you ready for the Word of God this morning?
Amen.
Glory to God. It'll take us a couple of minutes to get there, but you could go ahead and find 2 Kings chapter 22.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for the Word. 2 Kings 22. Hallelujah. This morning we will continue our messages on myths about God, Jesus, and the Bible. Myths about God, Jesus, and the Bible. And we're dealing with this particular myth that says that all the evil and suffering in the world proves that there is no God. You know, that's the world's take. There is no God. If there is a God, he's not a good God. That's the way the world says it. The church has a little bit different take on it. Now, this is a myth, remember, a misbelief, something that's not true. The church takes that same basic belief and says, well, there is evil and suffering in the world. We cannot deny that. And God is sovereign. And to them, that means that nothing ever happens unless God wills it, which is not true. That's not even what sovereign means, really. But they say God is sovereign, so nothing happens in this world that he doesn't approve of or commission or let happen or at least allow to happen. So in other words, he's good, but he's good. We know he's good. We know he's a good God, and we know he's got our best interests at heart. So all the suffering, and suffering can be caused of evil. There's hundreds of kinds of evil, and any kind of evil can cause a lot of suffering. How many of you know what I'm talking about? So all the evils of, evils of all kinds, accidents, natural disasters, war, sickness, disease, poverty. You know, the number one killer in the world is poverty. And then people want to criticize, you know, preaching on God wants to meet your needs. Amen. Is that what they say is, well, this is somehow all for our good. God allows these things for a higher purpose. As a matter of fact, I was reading after one man, one Bible commentary even said, James 1 says, and he's right about this. We preached on this last Sunday. See it very clearly, just in these few verses, James 1, 13 through 17. But he said, God is not the perpetrator of any kind of evil. And that's absolutely the truth. Like I said, we preached on that last Sunday. You know, many people ignore those scriptures, or they explain them away, or they just don't know them. But this man acknowledged that God does not, God cannot. That's what it means. God is not capable of tempting us or trying us, tempting us to do evil or putting through a test or trial, either one, with any kind of evil. But then this man went on to say, so when we think something is evil, like sickness that kills your baby girl when she's 9 years old, then it must not actually be evil. Now that's absurd reasoning. That's untenable. You can't defend that. But you see, he's just so blinded by this myth. No, God's all powerful and he didn't stop it, and he's not the author of evil. So if a child starves to death, if children starve to death in the world, then that's really not evil. Well, of course it's evil. Of course it's suffering. So we've spent two messages debunking this myth. And you know, we can't go back and say all the things we've said, because this is just it's just too big. You have to knock over too many sacred cows. And so you just can't do it in one single service. And so we can't, you know, each message stands on its own, but you know, you have to go back and listen to everything we've said, not just today. But two myths that debunk this myth, this misbelief that God allows evil and suffering in the world for some higher purpose. And so we can't go over everything, but let me just at least say this. We have seen that man has a free will. God gave us the power of choice, and God will not violate our free wills. He will not violate our free wills. And if we do certain things, or you know, how many of you ever suffered because you did the wrong thing? Yeah, we all have. I remember one time I questioned God and I said, God, because I'd broke my tooth eating a popcorn seed. Of course, I'd been eating popcorn seeds and chewing ice for 25 years. I also knew that that wasn't a good thing to do. I knew that potentially that could cause you problems. I knew that. But I was dealing with that issue, and so I had to go to the dentist, and you know, instead of just fixing it for $1,000, no. This thing's broken below the gum, so I've got to go to a specialty dentist. I forgot what they called him. And they had to do a couple of $1,000 work before my regular dentist could even fix the real problem. So I'd already spent $3,000 or $4,000. I'd be like, this goes back a while now. I ought to be like $8,000 or $9,000 today. Of course, like most people, didn't have particularly any kind of insurance to cover dental. And I'm driving back from Chattanooga, and I'm driving over the speed limit. You know, I'm doing like 65 and a 45. And here comes this police officer up behind me. I mean, I pass him, and he zooms up, and he's just coming. I mean, I know he's coming right to me. And he gets right, you know, up to my bumper. And I was like, now I knew better than this, but I was like, God, why? Why didn't you warn me about that popcorn scene? I mean, why didn't you? I mean, I'm spending now. I'm about to, what? Why? And just instantly the Lord said, I didn't chew that popcorn seed. You did. And I'm not driving 20 miles over the speed limit. You are. Well, about that time, the police officer went around me. Dodge that one. Hallelujah. I was a 4-lane highway. Don't look at me in that tone of voice like you ain't ever drove 20 miles over the speed limit. At least it was a 4-lane highway. And you know, he said that to me, but instantly in my spirit I had, you know, sometimes when the Holy Ghost says something to you, it's a little more authoritative. But then just instantly in my spirit, you know, I just instantly knew two pages worth, like, you've known for all these years it wasn't wisdom. You know, there's a scripture in Ecclesiastes that says, why die before your time? Because you're not operating in wisdom. Well, you don't necessarily have to die, but have you ever suffered financially because you didn't operate in finances in your... Raise your hand. I'll raise mine both up. God didn't do it. We have a free will, and He will not violate our free wills. And then we've seen that the devil, not God, is present tense the ruler of the God, little g, of the worldly kingdoms, his world systems, not God. Adam was originally given dominion over the earth. He surrendered that legally to the devil, and the devil's been in charge of it ever since. And so he is in charge. He doesn't own the world, and ultimately and finally he will be defeated. And as Christians, he's not our ruler, and he cannot exercise any dominion over him unless we allow him to. But Christians do allow him to at times. And we've seen, somebody says, well, why doesn't God do something? I mean, the whole world got turned topsy-turvy. A curse came on this earth. Everything got out of balance when man sinned and bowed his knee to the devil and made him the ruler of this world. That's why there's storms. That's why there's disease. That's why there's sickness. Somebody says, why doesn't God do something about it? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ did something about it. Jesus shed his blood as the Son of God and took our place. And he died on the cross for you and I. And when he did, he saved us from our sins. He delivered us from Satan's authority and dominion. And he redeemed us from the curse of the law that's on this earth so that we could all be protected and set free from all these things, even though they are all around us in this world. You know, I like the 23rd Psalm. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The shadow of death is all around us, and we're walking right through it, praise God. In other words, we're protected right through it. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod protects me. And staff, they protect me. He goes on to say that he prepares a table before us right in the presence of our enemies. So yes, we live in a fallen world with a curse on this earth. But Jesus Christ has redeemed. He purchased our deliverance from all the curse. But you have to know that. You have to believe that. And you have to walk in the light of that. And so Psalms 23 is saying God protects us and prepares a table before us right in the presence of our enemies and right in the midst of all this death that's all around us. And then Psalms 91, what a psalm that promises us protection right in the midst of all this evil. You know, Jesus himself said in John 15:33, yes, in the world you will face many tests and trials. Doesn't mean that these things aren't present and that we don't face them. Yes, you will face these things. But Jesus said, take courage, for I have overcome the world. And I like the Amplified Classic. It says, I have deprived it, that is the world, I've deprived it of power to harm you and conquered it for you. Well, I believe that, don't you? Amen. Well, yeah, but brother so-and-so, and he loved the Lord. I'm sure he did, but I believe what the Word says, don't you? But still, you see, many Christians believe that God, in one way or another, and for one reason or another, permits or allows suffering in this world and in their lives. Or, and there's a little variation, out of this myth is 20 of them we could list separately, but this is what we really want to get to today. There is a myth that comes out of this myth, just a little variation on the idea that God caused or allowed their problems. So what people do is they say, well, it's for my good and I just accept it. But then that's not what a lot of people do. Here's what a lot of people do. They shake their fist in the face of God and they say, God, why? They blame God. They accuse God. They question God. Why didn't you help me? Why didn't you intervene? Why didn't you answer my prayer? Why did you let this happen? Why didn't you stop this? Why didn't you do something about this? Why don't you help me? But still, they're basing everything on the main myth, the main misbelief, that God is the one responsible for their trouble. Amen. Are you listening to me? And they see that myth is reinforced by the knowledge and by experience that sometimes bad things do happen to good people. And we see that all around us. But that doesn't mean or prove that it was God's will. And that leads us to our scripture here. 2 Kings chapter 22, verse number 1. 2 Kings 22, verse number 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. Can you imagine that? Becoming king when you're 8 years old. It's good to be king when you're 8 years old, I would think. He became king when he was 8 years old, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 31 years. The reason that he only reigned for 31 years is because he died. So he became king at 8 and ruled for 31 years and died when he was 39 years old. Verse number 2, and he did what was wrong in the sight of the Lord. Oh, wait a minute, that's not what it said. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. And then if you would, look at chapter 23, verse number 25. Chapter 23, verse number 25, talking about King Josiah. Now before him there was no king like him, like Josiah. There was no king before the Lord like King Josiah, who turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might, according to the law of Moses, nor after him did any arise like him. Well, that's high praise, isn't it? This king, you know, Andrew Womack said, because of Josiah and his reform, so you can read, you know, because this is way down the line, you can read in chapter 22 and chapter 23, and Josiah had people look, and they said, and they found out they weren't even observing the Passover, and he went to great effort to find out how to observe it and how to do it right. And he made all kind of reforms and got rid of all kind of false gods and false images that the people had allowed to be in the land. He did all kind of wonderful things. And Andrew Womack said, because of Josiah and his reforms, this chapter describes the greatest revival in all of the Old Testament, all because of good King Josiah. But then if you go on reading in this chapter, chapter 23, verse number 29, it says, in the days of Pharaoh, Necho, king of Egypt, went to the aid of the king of Assyria to the river Euphrates, and King Josiah went out against him, and Pharaoh Necho killed him, that is Josiah, at Megiddo when he confronted him. So Josiah was killed in battle by the king of Egypt. How many of you like teaching on our covenant with God, the blood covenant? How many of you know that David, you know, we talk about King David, and David had a covenant with God. That's why he went out to battle and face Goliath, who he had no chance of defeating in the natural, but he defeated him because God was with him, God was on his side, in his covenant. He said, how dare you uncircumcised Philistine? See, circumcision was the sign and seal of the covenant. And David saying, I've got a covenant with God. You cannot defeat me because I've got a covenant with my God. Does that make you shout? Make you happy? Well, Josiah had a covenant with God. He had a covenant with God. His covenant, the Old Testament covenant, promised him and all the Jews, promised him victory over his enemies. They were living in the promised land. It promised him protection. It promised him long life, among many other things. Yet this very, very godly man died in battle prematurely at age 39. Why? Why, God? Why did Brother So-and-so, who was a godly man, maybe a pastor, maybe a deacon, maybe an elder, maybe noted for his, you know, just being a good man and a godly man and sincere Christian? Or why did Sister So-and-so experience some kind of loss or some kind of tragedy or suffer for years with some disease or die prematurely? Well, I don't know, unless the Lord would reveal it to me. Are you listening to me? I know general reasons. Like I said a while ago, some, you know, that same scripture, it wouldn't apply to what I'm talking about here, but that same scripture that says, why die before your time because you're being foolish? It also says, why die before your time because of being overly wicked? Sometimes even some famous person in the world is such a sinner. I mean, they drink and overdose drugs so much that it doesn't even surprise the world that they died at 27 or 25 or 30. You know what I'm talking about? Doesn't even surprise the world. And then, you know, it doesn't mean somebody did anything wrong necessarily, but sometimes people aren't operating in wisdom. There's all kinds of reasons. But number one, but here's what I want to say to you, it doesn't change the truth of God's Word one bit. Can you say amen? And it doesn't mean that person sinned. Now, people can suffer unnecessarily because of sin and wrongdoing. Over in Peter, Peter says, don't suffer as an evildoer. Writing to Christians, and he says, if you do evil, you're going to suffer before it. It's going to cause you trouble. And he says, you're not called to suffer, is it? You're called to suffer persecution. Yes, Peter teaches, but he said, you're not called to suffer because you did evil. Now listen, Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. There are 1,001 things we don't know, amen, about these cases that God knows. But you can be sure of this. God is not to blame. He didn't fail us. And He didn't fail to keep His word to them or to us in any way. Did you hear me? Now watch this, because I want to make a point with this. I have a new Harley. Margaret and I brought a new Harley. We enjoyed motorcycle trips and we've done that going back to the 90s. That's been our thing. That's what we've done. You know, we had the wreck and we just didn't buy one, but we bought a new Harley. Now this is a trike. You know, it has the two wheels on the back. And this bike has, you know, besides the bike itself, it has a... It has what they call an infotainment system, just like your car. Your infotainment system, that's the car that talks to you and tells you all kind of things through audio and even through video. You know, it's your turn-by-turn directions on your GPS. It's your radio. It's all the hundreds of different things your car will do. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. Well, this Harley, this new Harley trike, because it's designed to be more of that kind of vehicle, you know, it has GPS, it has an intercom system where we can talk to one another wirelessly. Now, we had to, the bike has that whole system on it, but it's not wireless, but it has Bluetooth capability, and we brought Bluetooth headsets that go inside our helmets that make this all wireless, but it all syncs together with the bike. You know, now some people don't care a thing about any of this. They just get on the bike and ride it. But, you know, we do like to talk to one another. We talk to one another in conversational tones while we're riding. And we did it on our other bike, but we had a cord to us. But now we're free of that cord. It's wireless. And so since I've got it, you know, but I won't use all of this, but it has an intercom system. It has radio. It has CB. It has this in the infotainment, but all the other stuff like cruise control. We have the ability to answer phone calls. She can answer phone calls. I can answer phone calls. We have Bluetooth headphones, and all this had to be synced to the bike. Are you listening to me? Well, to make all this work has been a little bit challenging. It all works, but you know, I've got 8 or 10 things. Like I over here, there a screen comes up. You know, there's a screen, and I press a button to go to the main screen. And over here, I can make it go to the right. I can make it go to the left. I can make it go up. I can make it go down, and then I push it in when I want that particular. I mean, there's 8 or different things I can. You know, I can do radio. I can do GPS. I can do categories. I can do all kinds of things, and you can do it. It's touchscreen, and it also can be done just with your fingers. You know. And so there are general headings, there are categories, there are subcategories, there are subcategories of subcategories, and there are subcategories of subcategories of subcategories. And so I don't know. I mean, this thing is I mean, it's not infinite, but it goes on a long way. For instance, in my headset, and Margaret can make hers either way she wants it, but in my headset, I can, you know, I know what I'm saying. I can hear myself talking, but it's like when I'm up here, they don't give me much monitor because I don't like to hear the monitor. Now, musicians, they want to hear that monitor, believe me. But I don't want to hear that monitor. So in my headset, I can have that on or off. I don't want to hear myself talking, you know, through my headset. I know what I'm saying, so that bothers me. So to get to that, I have to go to setup. That's one of about 8 different places I can go to. Once I get to setup, then I have to select wireless headset. That's one of about 10 different places I can go to. After I go to wireless headset, I have to select manage rider. After I select manage rider, I have to select configure. After I select configure, that gives me 13 options. After I select configure, I have to set side tone. And then thankfully, that only gives me 2 options, enable or disable. So the reason I say that is because some of those other settings give you as many as 10 more choices. So I go to that and I hit disable, and so now I don't hear myself talking through my headset. Amen? I said amen? I mean, yeah. And this is just one of 150 different things you can do if you desire. But the instructions, and they're not necessarily easy to come by, but the instructions and videos are available for all of this. And you definitely have to read and study carefully, diligently, meditatively the instructions to know what you're doing. You know, we talk about having to meditate in the Word of God. Amen. Well, there have been several things that were very frustrating because we couldn't get them to work. There's Daisy. She was helping us originally. We were trying to, you know, grab a kid. They at least understand Bluetooth and how to, you know. I mean, just syncing it to the bike. We kept trying to sync it to the bike, and we kept having troubles with that because, you know, the Bluetooth itself will do all kind of things independently of the bike. But we wanted this to be synced to the bike so that I can get GPS instructions, you know, through the bike while I'm watching the screen, not through my phone, but through the bike. And so we spent on and off almost 20 hours, Margaret and I, playing with it, working with it, looking at videos, on and off, before we ever got it right. Enough to make a Baptist preacher cuss. Good thing I'm not a Baptist preacher. But and so there have been several things that became very frustrating because we couldn't figure it out, but I knew they worked. I mean, just Friday, we were doing a little ride, and so we got to a point where I wanted to play with the GPS a little bit because I'm coming home, and so I want to connect the GPS to take me home just to make sure that it's all working right, because that's valuable to me on the motorcycle, because the rides Margaret and I go on, when we go on a longer ride, we go back roads. We go Highways 11, Highway 411s, Highway 58s, back roads. Well, when you come into a city that you know, and you're going, you go into that city, maybe one of the size of Cleveland, and you can spend a lot, you can waste a lot of time not knowing where you're going to get out of it to the other side to go. In other words, if you came into Cleveland, Tennessee, and you didn't know anything about Cleveland, Tennessee, and you came in on Highway 64, and you wanted to go out of the town, you know, because you can go toward Chattanooga, you can go toward Knoxville, you can go, or you want, but you wanted to go out Georgetown Road, going toward Dayton and the Tennessee River that way. Well, you know how to do that because you live here. But if you've never been in this city before, you can come into town. And you see, I would spend a lot of times with maps trying to, okay, I got to go up there three blocks and turn over here, go down to that road and turn over here, and there's bypasses around the city, and sometimes there's not. The GPS just makes it a lot simpler. You don't waste time. And so I turn on the GPS, and everything's working, except I can't hear it in my headset. It's not talking to me. And so I play around with that, and after about 20 minutes, thankfully not 15 hours, but I figure it out. I figure it out. Now, I said all that to say to you, to make this point, when something wasn't working, not one time did I think or say, why doesn't Harley do something about this? Why are they allowing me to go through all of this? Why don't they fix this? It's not the great Harley's will that I enjoy this particular benefit, evidently. It just don't work for me. Harley doesn't want to give me turn-by-turn signals. Harley doesn't want me to be able to enable or disenable this function. That'd be ridiculous, wouldn't it? You just had to make the right connection. It all works. It all works to perfection. Harley wasn't failing me. Harley, the great Harley, wasn't failing me. Or Davidson, either one. They wasn't failing me. It wasn't allowing this to happen. It was just a matter of doing it like they said, and making the right connection. And it didn't work for me because I was committing some sin. It just wasn't working because I wasn't making connection. And when I got it to work, it didn't just automatically start working because the great Harley looked down and said, well, he's being a good boy and he's trying real hard, and they just sprinkled some motorcycle dust and all of a sudden started working. It worked because I did it according to the instructions like they said. And when you did it like they said, it worked to absolute perfection. Well, if Harley can do that, multiply that by a billion, trillion times and you get how God works. Amen. If you do things according to the way He says, it will work for you. I just simply made the right connections and got results. The Word works. The Word works. The Word works. The Word works. Everybody say, the Word works.
The Word works.
And so you see, the question is never, people have questions, I understand, but the question is never, why did God fail? Why did God not keep His word? Why did God not intervene? Why did God let me down? Why did God not help me? That is never, ever the question. The question is, where am I missing it? Where am I failing to make connection? Does it mean, now you could be making a missing connection because you got sin in your life, but it doesn't have anything to do with sin most of a lot of times. But where am I failing to make connection? Why? Here's the question we ought to ask. Why isn't God allowed, or why wasn't God allowed to intervene in my particular situation? So why did King Josiah die prematurely at age 39? Because I'll tell you what, most Christians read, I mean, if this happened right here in present day times and the pastor of so-and-so church downtown, you know, passed away and he was a good man, godly man, they'd say, God took him. It was just God's will. It was just His time. We don't know why. God didn't want him to put up with this stuff anymore or whatever. And so people read this, say, yeah, there's a story. God didn't stop him from dying. So it was, if he didn't stop it, then it was His will for him to die young. Or He at least allowed it. For some reason in His sovereignty, He didn't stop it. But none of that is right, and whoever said anything like that would be 1,000% wrong. Because it's not the truth. If every healing evangelist in the world dies today, it doesn't change the truth of God's word one iota. That Jesus in His atoning work at Calvary provided healing for everybody and every man, every woman, every child on the face of the earth. Actually, in this case, I know exactly why Josiah died. How could you know that? Because 2 Kings isn't the only place in the Bible where it talks about King Josiah. But even if it didn't give me this other information, I could know because of what I know of God and what I know of other scriptures that there was some reason that I don't know about. But in this case, we are told why. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 35. Remember, glowing reports about this godly man, no king like him, before or after. 2 Chronicles chapter 35. You know, Kings and Chronicles are kind of like Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. Sometimes they tell the same story. You get different insight. So in 2 Chronicles 35, verse 21, sorry, so y'all can put it up there. 2 Chronicles 35, let's read verse 20 to start with. 35:20, after all of this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, Egyptians were by and large the enemy of Israel, you know, most of the time, came up to fight against Carchemish by the Euphrates, and Josiah went out against him. Okay, so he goes out to fight the king of Egypt. Verse 21, but he, that is the king of Egypt, sent messengers to him, that is Josiah. You see that? But he, the king of Egypt, sent messengers to Josiah saying, what have I to do with you, king of Judah? I have not come up against you this day. See, he's not coming against Israel. He's going against somebody else. He's just coming by that way, so to speak. I have not come up against you this day, but against the house from which I have war, for God commanded me. Say, God commanded him. Well, somebody says, just because he said it doesn't make it true. Well, in verse number 22, it says, nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but disguised himself so that he might fight with him, and did not heed the words of Necho from the mouth of God. From the mouth of God. So what the king said was from the mouth of God. Can you say amen? Amen. So back up, verse 21. What have I to do with you, king of Judah? I have not come against you this day, but against the house from which I have war. For God commanded me to make haste. Refrain from meddling with God who is with me, lest he destroy you. Verse 22. Nevertheless, for whatever reason, Josiah would not turn his face from him. He even kind of went around the bush somewhere, disguised himself so the king of Egypt would not know that it was him. He went and disguised himself so that he might fight with him and did not heed the words of Necho, in essence did not heed the words of God, did not heed the words of Necho from the mouth of God. So he came to fight in the valley of Megiddo, and the archers shot King Josiah, and the king said to his servants, take me away, for I am severely wounded, and he died. God allowed that. God didn't allow that. God tried to prevent it from happening. Amen. He warned him. He warned him and did his very absolute best to stop him so that he wouldn't get killed that day. But remember, God will not violate your will unless he physically restrained him. You know, it's kind of like Brother Hagin said one time. He said, some of y'all think God can do anything. And this man spoke up and said, yeah, that's right. God can do anything. And by the Spirit, Brother Hagin just instantly spoke up and said, why don't he make you pay your tithes then? He just said that by the Spirit. And he said, the man literally ducked behind the pew. See, so God's trying to help him. Josiah, for whatever reason, I don't think maliciously, I don't think hard-headedly, maybe, but ignorantly, went out to fight against God in essence. He ignored God's wisdom, even disguised himself. He just missed it. He just missed it. When you get to heaven, you can ask him, why didn't you pay attention to that warning? But I'm glad he's in heaven, aren't you? I'm glad for the reforms he made and the good things he did. All he had to do was heed God's warning and he would have lived a long, long life. So don't, this is really my point. We're closed. Don't look for reasons why God's not helping you or keeping his word. But seek to find out what you need to do in order to make connection or to see why God is not allowed to interview or to see where you're missing it. Amen. Now listen, not to blame yourself, or to be overly critical of self, but so that you can put yourself in a position to receive. That's what it's all about. Amen. I said amen. I see it's early, so I'm going to say something I skipped a while ago. Listen. It's almost become taboo. Somebody's suffering. Somebody's hurting. Somebody's got a terrible disease and they're suffering with it. It could be anything. It's almost taboo to talk to them about their responsibility. It's like, don't be piling on. You know, because people will say, well, you're not saying they did something wrong, are you? Well, you know, I wasn't doing anything wrong per se when I couldn't get those parts of my bike to work. I just wasn't making proper connection. And as long as you just take the attitude of leave him alone, he's been trying to get that to work for 10 hours, then I'm never going to get it to work and I'm never going to enjoy the benefit and blessing of it. And it's particularly taboo to tell somebody that they've sinned. But you know, it is possible for somebody to suffer because they have sin in their life. How many of you know that's true? It is possible for somebody's And it's also particularly taboo to tell somebody that they're not operating in faith. But it is possible for somebody not to get to receive from God because they're skeptical. They don't believe. That's why they're not experiencing the blessing. But, you know, and then, of course, many times it's not a lack of faith and it's not because of sin. It's just simply because of not making connection some kind of way or not operating in godly wisdom in some kind of way. But if we'll deal with the real issue, then we can really help people and just say, leave them alone. We do have a responsibility and a part to play in this thing if we're going to walk in God's best and be protected and be delivered as the Word of God promises us. You know, here's an outstanding example along these lines from Brother Hagin. You know, Brother Hagin is, you know, many people call him the apostle of faith. Some people call him the leading prophet of the world when he was alive. But you know, from my perspective of being around him so much in all those years and hearing him preach live almost 500 messages, I think he ought to be known for his love walk as much as anything. In our circles and way beyond our circles, a lot of teaching on love the last 25, 30 years, directly or indirectly, goes straight back to Brother Hagin and his emphasis on teaching on love and teaching on the importance of walking in forgiveness and so forth. Because he knew forgiveness was a great hindrance to faith and forgiveness is a great hindrance to answered prayer. Well, but you know, he is, you know, just commonly known for his teachings on faith. And like he would jokingly say, I didn't write Mark 11:24. You know, Mark 11:24, you know, that's what raised him off the deathbed. Whatsoever things you desire, You know, whichever things you need, whichever things you desire, when you pray, when you're asking for, when you pray, believe you receive and you shall have. And the secret to Mark 11, 24 that many people miss, the secret to miracles, the secret to answered prayers is this. When you pray, not after you pray, not after you get results, but when you pray, before things change, before you feel any different, before things look like they've changed, before you can see any manifestation of the answer to your prayer, when you pray, you believe you received. You believe you got. You believe that God heard and answered your prayer and that you got it. And so you thank God for it. You don't look any different. You don't feel any different. You can't see any change. But that's what faith is. You believe God gave it to you and it's yours right now. Amen. Then you'll have it. Secret of miracles. Well, just a few years before Brother Hagin passed away. I mean, he taught Mark 11, 24 for 70 some years. Was noted for teaching it more than anybody on the face of the earth. Well, and I just heard him tell the story one time, but just a few years before he went home to be with the Lord, you know, he began to have some symptoms in his body, I think some stomach problems and so forth, and he was in some pain and experiencing some difficulty, and he said, I did the things that I had always done and prayed just like I was always done, but he said, I got no better fast. And this went on for, you know, an afternoon and a night, and he said, the next morning, they're still there, and he says, when you're hurting, you know, you need some relief. So he said, I picked up my phone to call a doctor who was on my board of trustees. I knew his number. He said, I started calling him, medical doctor started calling him. He said, I got about halfway through and I put the phone down. I said, Lord, what's wrong here? I know you don't miss it. You know, you can't miss it. You're not missing it. I'm not making connection here. I'm not getting results here. What's wrong? See, he's not saying, why aren't you helping me, God? He's saying, why aren't you allowed to help me? It's a vast difference. He said, immediately in my spirit, the Lord said to me, he said, you're trying to have it, then you're going to believe it. If you understand Mark 11, 24, you know that's the exact opposite of what he's taught for 70 years. In other words, you want to feel good, then you're going to believe you're healed. You're trying to have it before you believe it. He said, oh, Lord, I see it. So he said, immediately I said, Lord God, I thank you that according to your word, I am healed. I believe I received my healing. Woo, God, I just thank you that I am healed. Didn't feel a bit better. I just thank you that I am healed. Thank you. It's mine. I have it now. I believe I receive in Jesus' name. He said, just in a matter of minutes, I got better and better and better. In a matter of a couple of hours, it was 100% gone. Well, see, isn't that better? Isn't that better? Find out what's wrong so that you can fix the problem, so that you can not suffer, so that you can not be in pain anymore. Amen. Or if you did slip up and make a mistake so that next time you'll know how to overcome and not be defeated. Are you listening to me? Amen. That's so much better. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, you know, it's not taboo to help people, is it? You know, if something's taboo, that's something that cannot be done, something that you're just forbidden. You're forbidden to talk about that. Well, one of the misbeliefs that just goes right along with this is that everything is God's responsibility and it's all over Him. If he wanted it to happen, it'd happen. If he wants to fill me with the Holy Ghost, He'll fill me. If He doesn't, He won't. That's not true. We always have a part to play. To every miracle, to every answered prayer, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Simone, would you come up here, please? Thank you, Jesus. To every miracle, to every answered prayer, there's a Godward side and there's a manward side. In other words, the blessings of God don't automatically fall on us. We have to receive them by faith. And if we don't receive them by faith, hi, beautiful. Come here, stand right here. Come here. Face, turn around, face me.
Face you?
Yeah, face me. Oh. You can look that way if you want to. Thank you, Jesus. Proverbs 28:1 says, the righteous, now we are righteous, ultimately and finally nobody is, righteous can mean, you know, good behavior, but to be right with God, to be justified before God, the only way any human being on the face of the earth can ever be right with God is because of Jesus, because of the blood of Jesus. So Jesus, I'm righteous because of the blood of Jesus, because I accepted Him as my Lord and Savior. You are righteous because you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and what He did for you. So you are the righteous. Can you say amen? Amen. Say, I am the righteous.
Amen.
Everybody say, I am the righteous.
I am the righteous.
Proverbs 28:1 says, the righteous are bold as a lion. The righteous are bold as a lion. Say, I'm bold as a lion. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Say, I'm bold as a lion. Say, I'm bold as a lion. Say, I'm bold as a lion. Say that loud. Say,
I'm bold as a lion.
The righteous are bold as a lion.
The righteous are bold as a lion.
They're very good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're bold as a lion. You're bold as a lion. You're bold as a lion. From this day forward, any kind of intimidation, any kind of, now we all have to deal with things, but the spirit of fear, the spirit of intimidation is of timidity. Paul told young Timothy, he said, God has not given you a spirit of fear. The word there is timidity, literally. And so he was a young pastor with a lot of responsibilities. And so the spirit of timidity is, all of that is, and of any kind of insecurity, any kind of fear is broken over your life forever in the name of Jesus, and you are the righteous, and you are bold as a lion. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now turn around. Lift your hands. Say, I'm bold as a lion. In the name of Jesus. Praise God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Bold as pray in tongues as the Spirit of God gives me the utterance. Come up here, Margaret. Come up here and pray with her. Go. She's asked to be filled with the Holy Spirit, wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but you hadn't spoken tongues yet, have you? Amen. Come up here. Pray. Bold as a lion, bold to step out in faith with no fear, no intimidation. I don't care what the devil thinks or anybody else thinks. I'm bold as a lion. I'm the righteous, praise God. And I tell him, Onose kitile bekarase, kodrosotola karese televe bekarotola karete kiriandoko. Bold. Hallelujah. And you can't say anything if you don't open your mouth. No, in English or any other language. Just pray right there in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come up here and pray with me. Come up and pray with her. Praise God. Lay your hands on. Let's all stand up together. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Aren't you glad you're filled with the Holy Ghost? Amen. I said amen. Aren't you glad that God's on your side?
Yes.
That you're His child?
Yes.
Aren't you glad for the promises of God?
Yes.
Glory to God. Somebody says, well, what if I miss it and fall? Well, just get back up. Just get back up. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Anybody else want to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Is not filled with the Holy Ghost and wants to be filled with the power of God and the blessings of God and speaking in other tongues? Come up here if that's you. Glory to God. Probably most of you are already filled with the Holy Ghost as it is, but amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. The righteous are bold as a lion. You know, some things it'd be wrong. You can't pray for love. The love of God's already on the inside of you. Do you know that? You just have to let that love come out. But you know, in the book of Acts, they prayed for boldness. So it's scriptural to pray for boldness.
Amen.
For boldness. Some people, the only thing that makes them they're lacking to be a dynamo for God is boldness. And they prayed, Lord, grant unto us boldness. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. If you need boldness, say, I receive boldness. I take boldness. Right now, I ask for boldness. I ask for boldness. Grant unto me boldness in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Kurateleva manasateleva bakurate kiriandoko. Amen. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Oh, yeah. I see that. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Yeah. That's it. Listen to me. You're here and you say, This is something we don't commonly admit because they're just... But sometimes people are mad at God. They're hard at God. They're like, I believe God let me down a little bit. And you see, but you can't get... And it's not that God's mad at you because you're mad at Him, but He can't do for you what He wants to do for you as long as you're thinking wrongly like that. So if you've had any sort of bitterness in your heart toward God or upset with God or mad at God, why don't you just right now say, God, I see that I've been wrong about this, and I ask You to forgive me. Forgive me. I understand that You're with me, that You're for me, that You're on my side. And just let God minister to you and help you in that area. Glory to God. Amen. Now you can look up and rejoice with these guys up here if you want to a little bit. Glory to God. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. If you're not saved, you can get saved. You see, nobody will go to hell and say, God, why did You do this to me? He sent Jesus to die on the cross so that nobody would ever have to go to hell. So if you don't know Jesus, you can invite Him into your heart. If you haven't been living for Him like you should as a Christian, you can just simply repent and believe that the Word of God, which says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you can do that before I finish this sentence good. And God will restore you back into perfect fellowship. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Say Simone.
Simone.
Is bold as a lion. And she also speaks in tongues. Glory! Hallelujah! Amen. Now listen. When you get through hugging, listen. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. It's yours. It's a gift, so you can do it anytime you want to. So when you're by yourself, do it again. The more you do it, the more will come. More freedom will come. And don't ever let the devil talk you out of it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I love you, baby. Amen. We'll say it's a good day to be in the house of the Lord. Hey, we love you so very, very much. Very much. What time is it? Gosh. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. We'll see you again next time, next Wednesday night. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank You, Jesus.